Morning. Turn to Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Again, how many of you were here when I was here last time? Okay, good. I know I got some friends in the place. My name is Miles McPherson. I grew up in right outside New York City. And in 1982, I was drafted to play for the Los Angeles Rams. Flew out here, first time in California, coming from a very filthy city to a very pretty, clean place. We flew into John Wayne Airport. And I tried out with the team. I didn't make the team. I was cut. And I went down to San Diego to play, and I played 4 years there. My first 2 years, I was on drugs. I continued my drug habit since I was in high school, 8 years. And I was using cocaine, smoking marijuana, drinking, cursing. And in 1984, I gave my life to Jesus Christ, and in one day stopped all of that, everything. No drug rehab. It totally healed. And I started to share my testimony in churches and prisons, and I played 2 more years with the Chargers. Then I joined Horizon Christian Fellowship with Mike McIntosh. I've been there for 5 years. And in addition to working with the high school ministry on the campus of Horizon at the church, I do high school assemblies around the country, outside the country. And a couple weeks ago, I was in Philly. And when I flew in, we flew in about 11 o'clock at night. We went down to South Philly. And Philly's nickname is the City of Brotherly Love, or Philadelphia, because it's very dirty. And we went to this place called Pat's. It was a steak sandwich place in the city, and it was filthy. We drove up to the steak sandwich place. It's open 24 hours a day. It's a place where Rocky ate the steak sandwich on Rocky film. And they had it was puke on the sidewalk right outside the place. And I figured, this is the kind of sandwich I want to get in these places. Whenever you go to a place that's real dirty, they have the best food. You know, when the guys who are selling the food are real snotty looking and they got dirt all over their face and hands, that's where the best food in the world is. And they're back and you're like, what do you want? You know, give me a steak sandwich, onions and cheese and everything, give me a Coke. And it was really good. The streets were real slimy. It was just filthy, but I just fell in love with it. I just really wanted to be there. And I went there on a Thursday, and Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, I went to the Poconos up in the mountains. Then I came back, and on Monday, I spoke to inner city school. But while I was there, I went to a flea market. Now, out here, you call them swap meets. And when I was growing up, used to go to a swap meet, but it was a flea market. I thought you would go there and buy fleas. They had fleas in the boxes, but it was a swap meet, just like you have. And now, can you swap money for merchandise, or you buy it? Y'all haven't really caught up to the lingo. It's called purchasing or buying things. But I went to the swap meet, but it was Satan's swap meet. It wasn't Colby's. What do you have out up here? Swap meet. You don't have someone's name. Like, we have Colby swap meet and all these different people own them. But I went to the devil swap meet. And at the devil swap meet, he had all these bulls lined in a big circle in this big, gigantic parking lot. And he was giving everything away. He wasn't selling it. He was giving away murder. He was giving away rape. He was giving away deceit. He was giving away backbiting and gossip and envy and jealousy and child abuse and all the sexually transmitted diseases. He was giving away all this stuff. And there were millions of people that had just taken it, much as they can, stuffing it in their pockets, in the back pocket, down their shirt, taking bags and shopping carts. And he was sitting in the middle of the circle on this big, gigantic dome. And the dome had all these doors on it, but it said, no admittance anytime. And everybody wanted to know what was in the dome. He said, this is my number one weapon. And if I get rid of this one, all the other weapons won't work. So everybody wanted to know what that one was. He said, this is priceless, this weapon in here. I'll never sell it, never give it away. I won't do anything to expose what this is or spoil its power. And I started thinking, if I can know what that is, then I can beat the devil. If I can know what that one weapon is, his prized possession, then all the other weapons that he had won't be any good for me. They won't work on me. And if you can know what it is, then you could fight the devil too. And you would know how to expose the devil in his game and how to conquer him and what he's trying to do to you and how to get out of what he's trying to do to you. And this one weapon he has used on every single one of us, and he does every day. It's called a lie. And it's the lie that sin pays, that you can sin and get away with it. That's the lie. And today, all of us believe that lie every time we sin. Every time we sin, we fall a bit as a big sucker to the devil, to believe that we can get away with sin. And we're going to look at this. And as we're looking at this lie, I want you to ask yourself, how many times a day do I believe this lie, or is my whole life based on this lie? And if it is, today you need to be set free. You need to be set totally free from it. And let God, the Holy Spirit, open up your eyes that you may see the devil at his game. Amen? Well, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your faithfulness to teach us, your faithfulness to show us truth. And my prayer, Lord, and I pray right now that your Holy Spirit would open up our eyes so you may help us to understand your word, that you may teach us, not Miles, but the Holy Spirit. We pray that you guide us into all truth. And Lord, I pray that people here today who have been believing the devil's lie all their life, they've never been forgiven of their sins. I pray that you would cleanse them and purify them and give them the courage and the strength to say no to Satan and yes to God and to come into the light, the truth. For the truth will set them totally free from the bondage of sin and the bondage of deception. In Jesus' name, amen. Chapter 3, verse 1. And this is second service, so we have until 2, 3 o'clock, right? No one's coming. So we can just relax. Everyone just relax. We're going to have a good time today. And if you're waiting to get home for the football game, sorry. No, you'll get home for the football game, I promise. I promise. I played football for 16 years since I was 10. So I was 26. And I have a brother who plays football. He was a Heisman runner-up in 1987. Don McPherson, quarterback. And so every weekend we're trained. I could smell football. When I was back east and the leaves were turning brown, and I got off the plane and went, football. When I drive by construction sites and they're digging up dirt, I could smell the dirt. I could smell pipes and all hot dogs. It all reminds me of football. And I just hope no one yells at me and I'll, you know, jump on them or something. But verse 1, chapter 3, Genesis. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And the serpent said to the woman, you shall not die. You will not die. For God knows in that day you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said, where are you? And so he said, I heard your voice in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat? Then the man said, the woman whom you gave me, she made me do it. She gave it to me, and I ate it. And the Lord said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me, and I ate. Do you know that you can never, ever, ever blame anybody for your sin? You can't blame your brother, your mother, your sister. You can't blame me. You can't blame your church. You can't blame society. And you cannot blame Satan. You cannot blame Satan. Satan can never, ever make you do anything. Ever. He sits there and says, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. And you're like, really, really, really? He says, go ahead, go ahead, go ahead. And you're like, And as soon as you do it, you know what he does? I'm going to tell God. And he says, God, look at them. And you feel guilty. He plays that game with us every day. He never makes you do anything. There was a guy who had a dream. And he saw the devil sitting on the curb crying. And he says, Satan, what are you crying about? You own the whole world. You got kids dying of AIDS, of child abuse. You got people killing themselves. You got all this crime and all this sin. Billions of people going to hell. And you're crying? He says, yeah, man, I'm crying. He says, why? He says, because I'm tired of all those Christians blaming me for stuff I didn't get a chance to do. And boy, he's telling the devil did this. I'm mad at the devil. You know what? We need to be mad at ourselves. We need to take responsibility for our own action. We need to look ourselves in the mirror and say, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. Standing in the need of grace. Me. And when God saved you, he didn't save you from the world primarily. He didn't save you from your family. He didn't save you from drugs. He saved you from you. I know people get off drugs, they go to alcohol. Get off alcohol, they go to something else. He didn't save you from that. Now you are saved from that, but that's not what he came to die for. He came to die you to save you from your sin. That's what he said. He died for your sins. He didn't die for the so the devil can leave you alone. He died for your sin. In the last week, I have a disc going out in my back. I heard Gail had something in her body taken out. My car was stolen last night. Check this out. I go to church 5:30, park my car right outside the door to the church at 5:30. Now my back is hurting, so I'm thinking I'm going to sneak and go home early. So I'm walking out to my car, and my car's gone. God says, you ain't going nowhere. Get back in there. So I'm like, man, my car's gone. And I'm walking around the spot where it is. You know, you ever get your car stolen? And you're like, is it really? I never had my car stolen in my life. And I'm like, I literally walk. And I'm waiting for someone to kind of drive it up and say, hi, we played a joke on you. And I said, no. So I check this out. Story gets really good. I go to the phone because my garage door opener was in my car and my wallet. So I go to my phone and said, I called my wife. Said, Debbie, my car got stolen. She says, I know. Now, it got stolen between 6 and 6:30. She says she knew. I said, how did you know? She said, the police just called. They got it. The guy drove out of the parking lot, and he went no more than 200 feet, and a cop stopped him for going through a stop sign. Got my car back. Now, so she just said the cops called her. I didn't know how to. So I walk. She says, the cops are going to come to the church. So I go to the church, and I walk into the church, and these two girls, one of the pastor's daughters and her friend, they come run up to me. Miles, your car's in front of my house. They take me to my car. My car's sitting there totally fine. I mean, my ignition's messed up, but that's it. Cop's sitting there saying, is this your car? I said, yeah. He didn't even ask me for my ID. I just took the car and drove it, and it's home. And I was like, hey, I wouldn't even worry. You know, really, my car is... My car is a 1979 280ZX. I've had it for, this is my 10th year having it. I have 186,000 miles. It has never been touched by anybody. And you know what Z's in California are stolen every day. I've been in every neighborhood you can imagine. Just leave it. No one has ever touched it. And when it was gone, my wife has been trying to get me to get rid of this car. So when it was gone, she was like, praise the Lord, God took it from him. You know, I love my car. But I've been wanting to get a new car. And when I was gone, I said, oh, well, you know, I got another one. And then the only thing I was upset about is that I wanted to go home. And I said, well, I can't go home now. But anyway, God blessed me with a new car. But let me tell you about this story. Here we have Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve, the first man and first woman, they're in the garden, trees, plants, animals, and they're there naked, no clothes. Now, for the sake of being biblically accurate, let's imagine this, a man and a woman naked in the woods, with all the animals just kind of checking them out. Now, God said, be fruitful and multiply. So, you know, that's where we all came from. They had kids. So, you know, they were enjoying themselves in the garden. And all of a sudden, Eve starts talking to somebody. Let's read the story. Verse 1. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? First, the serpent, the devil, a liar, a murderer, the deceiver, the accuser. This is who the devil is. He is not your friend. He is not your friend. His desire is to take you to hell, nothing else. When I talk to teenagers, I tell them straight. Tell them straight. You know what the devil wants to do with you? And I tell them the worst things I can imagine. You know why? Because that's what he wants. Oh, no, the devil doesn't want to hurt you. He's just going to spoil your day. No. The devil wants to ruin your life and take you to hell. That's what he wants to do. He doesn't want you just to drink a couple of beers. He doesn't just want you to be an alcoholic. He wants your family destroyed and he wants you to go to hell. Period. That's all he wants. And he'll do it very slowly, a little bit at a time. There was I was watching National Geographic one day and there was a big sea turtle on the bottom of the ocean. Had his mouth wide open. Is that funny to you? And his tongue, he had a little tiny tongue, and he was going like this. I'll do it with my fingers since you can't. He was going like this. And this little fish was sort of little, he thought it was a worm. And he's like, but the fish knew something was up. Animals know when something's up. You ever see a deer try to drink water, like in an African safari? Those brothers are nervous. They're like, And the tail is like, looking for animals, right? They're like, you watching out, man? Yeah, I'm watching out. You watching out. They know. Well, this little fish was swimming around, right? And he was looking at that little worm, and he was like, wiggling pretty good there. Looks kind of juicy. But he was like, man, something ain't right. He said, I'm going to take it anyway. And as soon as he got near that worm, that animal's mouth, boom, ate him. The turtle did not want to entice him. The turtle did not want to give him something to look at. Didn't want to entertain him. The turtle wanted to eat him. And he put out this little tiny worm to do it. Now it says the serpent is the most cunning animal God made in the garden. The devil's the most intelligent, is very, very, very intelligent. And I said that in the class I was teaching in a school, and this guy came to me and says, I disagree. The devil's dumb. I says, okay. Is the whole world a sinner? Are billions of people going to hell? Are billions of people worshiping other gods? Are billions of people deceived? Do billions of people not trust in Jesus Christ? He says, yeah. I says, the devil's very intelligent. And you are deceived. And if you think the devil's not smarter than you, I'm not talking about God, I'm talking about you. You're deceived. Because he is. He's intelligent. All the rulers, the kings, the princes, all the leaders of the world, he's got them all in the palm of his hand. One world government, all the devil. He's got it. He's a genius. But he's not smarter than Jesus Christ. And the only way you can overcome him is to trust in Jesus Christ and let him open up your eyes to his game. Well, let's look at his game. It says, now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said? The first problem, he's got the woman alone. This is so important to have fellowship and be with Christians, because when you get alone, it's when the devil starts to talk to you the most. When you sit in your room, you're feeling sorry for yourself, you're sinning in your room, you're doing stuff in private, is when the devil starts to tell you all this stuff. And I don't know how Adam could have allowed his woman to be alone. If I was in the woods with my woman and she was naked, I was naked. There'd be no way she'd be anywhere by herself. And then if I heard her talking to somebody, I'm like, you know what I'm saying? And we're supposed to be the only ones there. I'm like, who's she talking to? I would have been there in a minute. And here she is all by herself talking to somebody. Look what he says to her. Has God indeed said? This is the first step to Satan's lie. He gets you to doubt what God said. He gets you to doubt what God said. Well, can I have sex before marriage? Well, if you have safe sex, you can. No. Tell me what's safe. What's safe about taking a 33% chance of getting AIDS? What's safe about that? If I got on a plane, going to Philly, student says, Miles, well, you'll see the 16F. She says, by the way, we're having some structural problems with the wing. We have a 33% chance of crashing over Montana. Have a nice flight. I'll be on the plane like this. I wouldn't get on the plane. And when you do what they say is safe sex, you're saying 33%, 35, 40, whatever, 20% chance you're going to get AIDS. You're going to die. That's safe, that's fun, that's sex, that's what sex with God intended to be? Oh no. I'm married. I know what God intended. And it's real good. It's real enjoyable. And I don't have to be ashamed of it, because God made it and he said it was good. And baby, it's good. But when you do it the devil's way and you start sneaking around and taking all these precautions, I'm going to go to the drugstore and I'm going to get all the contraceptives. And you put all of them on, you look like G.I. Joe. And you're going to say, I'm going to have safe sex, and I'm going to be intimate, and it's going to be me and her. That's not what God intended. God said you shall not have sex outside of marriage, period. He said you shouldn't lie, period. He said you shouldn't talk behind people's back, period. He said you shouldn't be jealous, period. He said you shouldn't be envious or worry. End of story. That's what he said. And what the devil's saying, what did God say? No, I know what God said. I know what God said. Did God say I could smoke cigarettes? People always ask me that. Can I smoke cigarettes? Well, you know, they didn't have cigarettes when they wrote the Bible. So that word is not in the Bible. The Bible says your body is a temple of God. Would you smoke a cigarette in the church? You know, cigarettes may not send you to hell, but they're going to make you smell like you've been there. So you make the decision. So he says, has God indeed said? And look what he says. Christ God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree in the garden. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God did say, you shall not eat it, nor you touch it, lest you die. Very good, Eve. Very good, you get an A for scripture memory. Even though that was the only scripture Friday it was. She gets an A, but she gets an F for failing for talking to Satan. Don't ever talk to Satan. Whenever you get an impure thought, a lustful thought, a jealous thought, an evil, wicked thought, don't ever entertain it and think about it. You're having a conversation with the devil. I was a very jealous boyfriend. I'm not a jealous husband because my wife is mine. I'm hers. Ain't no question. But I was a very jealous boyfriend. And when I took my wife out to clubs, we'd walk in the club. You know, she was looking good. Still looks good. And the brothers were checking her out. And I didn't like it. We walk into a club, and if she went to the bathroom, if I went somewhere and she was talking to a guy, I was right over there in his face, ready to fight. What is your problem? This is my woman. See you later. Don't talk to her. Don't even look at her. Don't even think about her. If I even feel you're thinking about her. I don't even want you to remember what she looked like. Just get out of here. This happened every time we went out, and as stuff I said, I never got in a fight, thank God, because I couldn't fight. I would have got beat up every day. But you know what? I knew that those guys had one thing in mind, and it wasn't something that I wanted them to have in mind. I knew. And the devil has one thing in mind. Don't you ever talk to him. Don't you ever think and consider anything that's against what God says. It's your first step into believing the lie. It's your first step into falling into sin. Maybe I can get away with it. Maybe did God say, what did God, what do you think, devil? What do you think? Do you think I can do it and get away with it? You think if I use this, I won't catch the disease? You think if I do it at this time of the night, no one will see me? God sees you. God sees you. He sees everything you do. He knows everything you think, everything you feel. It's nothing secret to him. God said, he did say it. You need to know what he said. So when the devil starts putting doubt in your mind, you could say, no, this is what he said, and that's it. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Wrong. Cross that out. Rewrite that. God said it, that settles it. Don't matter whether you believe it or not. People are going to go to heaven and say, I don't believe in God, and God's going to be standing there right before him. And say, you didn't believe me, son? Sorry. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It doesn't matter. I've had people come to me and say, you didn't play for the San Diego Chargers. So I didn't, huh? It doesn't matter whether they believe it or not. It doesn't matter whether you think I'm big enough or not. I did for 4 years. It doesn't matter. I had a guy actually call an office that I represent and tell them that I was lying, that I never played football. It's so easy. All you got to do is call 280-2111, call the San Diego Charger office. It's in the phone book and ask them. And they'll tell you. I mean, it's not like you've got to be a rocket scientist. Not like I'm lying. I can get away with it. And whether you believe it or not has nothing to do with the fact. And whether you believe in God or not has nothing to do with the fact that he exists and that he is who he is. That he's God, he ain't applying for the job, and he's there, he's going to be there. Amen? Well, this woman starts talking to the devil, and look what the serpent says to her in verse 4. It says, and the serpent said to the woman, he said, Eve, you will not die. This is a lie. You are going to die. Everybody you know is going to die. Mr. Johnson is going to die. Period. I'm going to die. You're going to die. And it's because of sin. Now, because I've been forgiven and because a lot of y'all have been forgiven, when my body dies, I'm going to get me a new one. And it's going to be better than this one. I can't wait to see that one. I'm telling you, it's going to be... I can't wait to see everybody when they look like in heaven. Because I know some people who need a new body a whole lot worse than me. I'm going to die. You're going to die. People who have AIDS are going to die. I don't care how much they scream. I don't care how much money you give them, how many programs you have. They're going to die. If you sin, you're going to die. If you lie, you're going to get busted. If you have an abortion, you're going to hurt. You're going to die. You cannot get away with sin. You can't get away with it. I don't care if you have millions of dollars because you've been cheating somebody. You are going to pay. Madonna is gonna pay. All these people that are leading people astray, and you look at them and saying they're famous, they're this, Don't worry about it. Don't even worry about it. Someone talking behind your back? Someone getting credit for something you did? Don't worry about it. God says, vengeance is mine, homeboy. Don't worry, I'll take care of it. Because God is totally faithful. And the devil's saying, you can sin and get away with it. You can have safe sex. You can do drugs. Look at all these people that did drugs for years and years and nothing happened to them. No, they paid. Look at that person over there lying and cheating and getting promotions. No, they're going to pay. The devil's going to tell you, you can sin and get away with it. You cannot get away with it. And if you've been getting away with it, you know in your heart. Not only are you worried about getting busted, but you already know the price you've already paid of worrying, being paranoid, being miserable, guilty, suicidal, people killing themselves because they have so much pain and hopelessness in their heart. You know how ignorant that is? Your heart hurts, so you punish your body. Nothing wrong with your body. Your body works fine. If it works enough to kill yourself, it works fine. It's your heart that hurts. You need a new heart. You need Jesus to come into your heart. Don't punish your body for the pain your heart has. Your heart hurts because you've been disobeying God and you've been dying a slow death internally. Because the devil's been deceiving you. Telling you nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to happen. Let me tell you, God is faithful. He's faithful to punish the wicked and to bless the humble. I know my God's coming to get me. Because I know I'm dirt. I was made from dust. I'm going back to dust. I'm nothing but a dirt bag. But I know the Holy Spirit's in me, and God told me He was going to do something. He's going to keep His word, because He's never, ever, ever, ever lied to Miles McPherson. He's never lied to you. You have to make a choice. Are you going to believe the devil and start doubting God's word and think you can get away with sin? You cannot get away with sin. You're cheating on your wife? Cheating on your husband? You ain't slick. You are deceived. You're miserable, you're dirty, and you're guilty, and you're busted. But God will forgive you. God will forgive you. You're doing stuff in private. You got pornography in your room. You're doing something in the closet no one knows about. God knows about it. And you're going to hurt. You're going to pay. Period. You cannot get away with it. And the devil's saying you can. You haven't. Look what it says. Then look what he says. For God knows in that day that you sin, you're not going to die, but in that day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. This is an even bigger lie than the first one. Not only will you not pay, not only will you not suffer, but you're going to be like God. Now you say, man, I don't believe that. Yes, you do. Because every time you sin, you know what you tell God? God, I'm going to do what I want, even though you said I can't. Because for one, maybe you won't see me, and for two, you'll just forget about it. You think God is stupid? I have a little son. I have three kids, but my youngest son is two. Gigantic head. His forehead is so big. We show movies on his forehead. When he gets discouraged and when we like, you know, when he cries, he walks around the house like this and his forehead rubs on the carpet. This brother got a big head. But he loves candy. He loves his candy a lot. You know whose candy he loves the best? My candy. And when someone gives me a piece of candy, you know, people give us stuff, you know, you get a lollipop, or I bring it home, and I'll empty my pockets out. Dad, whose candy is that? It's my candy. Can I have it? No. If I say no, he knows no, but you know what? It doesn't mean he doesn't stop trying. Dad, when are you going to eat it? He wants to watch me eat it. I says, you know, I don't know when I'm going to eat it. So I tell him anything. You know, I'm going to eat it in about an hour. Okay. You can eat in an hour. Mom, Dad's going to eat his candy in an hour. In an hour. Let me know, okay? I'll tell him. I'll remind him. So I won't eat it. I'll go out of town like I did last week. I went out of town, came back. I didn't eat the candy. It was one of those Tootsie Roll Pops with the Tootsie Roll inside and a big hard candy. He goes, Mom, Daddy forgot his candy. We got to go to the airport. Daddy forgot his candy. No, it's all right. I come back. First thing he says when I get back from being gone 5 days, Dad, you want your candy? You want your candy? I'm like, Miles, okay, go get the candy. Okay, I'm going to go get it. He runs upstairs, climbs up, gets candy. Dad, here's your candy. And right before he gives it to me. Now, he knows he can't eat it because I told him he couldn't. And we always try to do stuff that God tells us can't do. We're not supposed to do. He knows that he can't do what I tell him not to do. But he wants to get permission. And he'll beg and bug me until I give it to him. He goes, Dad, can I have a lick? No. Can I open it? I say, you can open it. Yeah, lick that whole thing. He goes, Dad, can I have a bite? Okay, now, how can you bite a hard granite steel Tootsie Roll Pop. I told him he could have a bite. This brother took this lollipop. And he knew that after his one bite, he had to give it to me. Homeboy took a 5-minute bite. And he ate this thing so fast, and I'm sitting there cracking up. He grinded it down to a stick. And it had a little bit of Tootsie Roll on it, and he went. And I was like, throw it in the garbage. He had Tootsie Roll all over his face. But you know what, though? He would not eat that Tootsie Roll unless I said he could. Because he knows if I tell him I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it. If God said you're going to pay for your sin, you're going to pay. I am nothing compared to God. And God's our Father. Whether you want to accept him as your Father or not, he is God. And if he says you are going to pay with your life for your sin, you're going to pay with your life for your sin. Plain and simple. You are not in control. You are not like God, like the devil said. When you sin, what you say is, God, I don't even, not only do I not fear that I'm not going to die, but I am going to prove it by taking control of my own life and doing what I want, in spite of what you say. God says, okay, go ahead. And you do it. You know, when you go fishing, there's a little fish under the water looking at that worm and that hook. He's swimming around the hook. And he bites that hook, regardless of what he thinks that in that, what that worm is. And he swallows it. Sooner or later, that hook is going to pull him out of that water. Sooner or later, your sin is going to find you out. You cannot hide from God. You cannot hide from God. So look what it says. So when the woman saw that the tree was desire good for food and desire and pleasant to the eyes, a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. She saw that the tree was good, pleasant, and desirable. And you know, when the devil shows you things that God says don't do, and you say it's fun, if it feels so good, how could it be so wrong, all these songs these people sing? And your logic says, that's right. Why would God withhold this from me? Because God has a time and place for it. I have a 5-year-old daughter. Is she ready to have sex? No. Some of y'all have been molested when you were kids. And you could tell yourself right now, you know how wrong it was. Should she have sex at 6? 7, 8, 9? When should she start having sex? 16? 17? No, when she's married. When there's someone that's going to be faithful to her for the rest of her life. If she does it any other time, she's going to pay. Period. All these kids having sex today, they're all paying. They're all paying. Go up to them. Ask them, is it worth it? They'll tell you no. Not one of them will tell you it's worth it. Ask a pregnant teenager, was it worth it? No. Ask someone with AIDS and herpes? No. It wasn't worth it. Sin is not worth it. So she took it. She said, it looks good. You know, sin is fun. I'm telling you, sex is fun. Drugs. I used drugs for 8 years. And I got high. I had fun every time I was high. Every time. For a little while. Then I came down. And I was worse off than I was before. Because the devil enticed me to do something he knew that I was going to pay for in the end. And he said, go ahead, Mom. You won't pay. It'll be fun. Forget your problems. Don't worry about it. Take control of your life. You're an adult. Oh, yeah, God, devil, that's right. I'm going to do my own thing. And I get out, oh, yeah, I'm feeling good. And the devil says, hey, God, look at this guy. Look at that guy. Look how wrong he is. Look how guilty he is. Look how dirty he is. And God's like, broke God's heart. So she took it because it looked good. Why do you think when you go to Vegas, it's lights and action and this? The devil's saying, come on. It looks exciting. Forget your problems. You can't run away from your problems. 9 million kids run away every year, running from their problems. They take their problems with them. 9 million kids run away every year to worse problems. You cannot run away from your problems. So look what it says. The eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. What does it mean with their eyes were open? Were they blind? No. They saw shame. They saw guilt. They saw embarrassment. They saw God leave them. Before that, there was no sin. Nothing evil in their whole life. They had the perfect situation. And when they sinned, they saw that they blew it. Just like we all see when we blow it. Oh, God, I'm sorry. I messed up. I shouldn't have said that. I shouldn't have thought that. I shouldn't have done that. Their eyes were open and they realized that they were wrong. And they tried to sow fig leaves. They tried to cover their sin. You can't cover your sin. Can't cover with makeup. Can't cover with new hairdo. You put a $50 hairdo on a nickel head. I'ma look good. No one's gonna know that I'm all this. You're gonna get a new car, new clothes. You're gonna wear shades. You cannot hide anything from God. You can't cover your sin. Only Jesus Christ and His blood can cover your sin. The Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You cannot reach God with sin on your back. But that God demonstrated His love towards us, not His debt. His love towards us in that while we were still sinners and enemies of God, that Jesus died for me. I wouldn't die for you. If you gave me $1 million, I wouldn't die for you. You wouldn't die for me. I wouldn't expect you to. But Jesus did. Can't explain it. All I got to do is accept it by faith. And He died for me to save me from me. He said, Miles, I'm going to die for you. And if you by faith let me come into your heart, I'll forgive you of all your sin. And I'll cleanse you of all your sin. I'll give you a new mind, a new heart, and you'll start your life all over again. I'm like, really, really, really? He says, yeah, you've been on drugs for 8 years. You're miserable. You're deceived. You think all those women like you? They don't like you. They just want your money. Oh, yeah, really, God, huh? He says, Miles, you're going to hell. I said, He says, if you let me love you, I'll change your life. How can you argue with that? How can you say no to a man who's hanging on the cross, bleeding to death because of your mistake and your sin? How can you turn him away? And too many times we have all these friends that are taking advantage of us. We're trying to get from them, they're trying to get from us. We play this game, and we end up getting hurt in the end. And God's saying, I just want to love you. I don't want to hurt you. We say, nah. Because we're believing the devil. The devil's so smart. But Jesus is smarter. Jesus is smarter. Let's look at the story. They sold fig leaves and they sinned. And it says in verse 8, and they heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves in the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They heard God coming. It does not say God was stomping. It does not say God was breaking down the trees. Where are you at? They heard him walking. He was hurt. But he was coming to forgive. And they hid. You can't hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Some of you are trying to hide from God. You're running from God. You don't want to hear the message. I can't wait to get out of here. I don't want to hear this guy. I don't like him. I don't want to hear about Jesus and God. I just came because this girl liked me, and I figure if I come, I'll get what I want. Or this guy liked me, and he'll, you know, if I go to church, he'll date me. So stupid. God's laughing at you. And Adam and Eve went and hid in the garden. Now, you can't hide from God. You're not a little, my little son. Get back to that little brother. We play hide and seek. He does not understand the game. He goes like this, Dad, I'm going to hide, and I'll tell you when I'm ready. And he goes and hides behind something this small, and his head is this big, and he goes, okay, I'm ready. Come find me. And he's shaking, and he's going, and I'm walking in the room like, where's Miles? Where's Miles? Kicking him, and he's like, he can't, Daddy can't see us. He can't see us. Of course I see him. He thinks I can't see him. You think you can do anything that God don't see? You think you can think anything God don't know? You think you can feel anything God don't know? Then you're stupid. Because you can't. Let me tell you, you can't. The devil has deceived you. He knows everything. There is nothing hidden from the eyes of the Lord. Nothing. That's a terrible thought. But you know what's a good thought? Is that when God forgives you, He forgives all the stuff you hid. That even though God knows everything about you, He likes you anyway. You ever meet somebody at first, you meet somebody, you think they're a celebrity or real nice, and you think they're real nice. Then you meet them and get to know them. They're a jerk. You know, you see people on TV, oh man, they're so great. They're on TV singing and dancing or whatever, they're smiling. And then when you meet them, they're like, hey, get out of here, get out of here. You're like, oh, he's a jerk. When God sees you, He knows everything already. He already knows everything. You know what He says? I love you anyway. God don't love you because you're good looking. He don't love you because you're white or you're black or you're Mexican. He don't love you because you got money, because it's His money. There's nothing you have that causes Him to love you. He just loves you because. For God so loved the world, not because, but for God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life. He didn't have to. He did not have, we don't make up everything that goes on in this universe. We are not a major thing in this universe, even though we are because he loves us. But if you ever get a map, a picture of the galaxies and everything that man knows about, which I'm sure is nothing compared to what there really is, we are a little speck in that. If you got a picture of our universe and galaxies, you wouldn't be able to even pick out the Earth. It's so small. But yet God loves us. I don't even need to understand that. I just need to accept it. And when God was walking in the cool of the day, he was not walking to hurt anybody. He was not walking to condemn anybody. He was not walking to punish anybody. He was coming to forgive them. And you out there that are running from God and hiding in your sin, knowing that you haven't been forgiven, God doesn't want to punish you. He wants to forgive you. But you have to let him. If he wanted to hurt you, he could just hurt you. He could throw lightning on you right now. Right now, he just goes, whack, whack, whack. He doesn't need for you to come down to the altar and say, God, I give my life to you. Okay, now I got you. I'm going to hurt you. He wants you to come down so he can love you. That's all he wants to do. And he's walking in the cool of this church right now looking for somebody to forgive and cleanse. The Bible says if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to not only forgive you and wipe it clean where he doesn't even remember your sin anymore, but to cleanse you and renew your mind. And all those bad memories and the low self-esteem and the guilt, he wants to take it all out and clean you up. I used drugs for 8 years, cocaine for 2 years, spent thousands of dollars on drugs and stopped in one day. You can go to any expert in the country, they'll tell you that's impossible because they're only a practicing physician. They're still practicing. My God is the great physician. He already got it. He got it down pat. he ain't trying to figure anything out. And they say, it's impossible. You're still addicted. You're still recovering. Hey, brother, I'm a new creature. The old is gone, the new has come. Now, I'm not saying you don't need to go to rehab, because people do. But the work that God does on you, over and above NA and AA. NA and AA are great organizations. But God is the healer. And God can take you past anything man can ever imagine. And that's what he wants to do with you. He wants to cleanse you and purify you and renew you. He does not want to punish you. And these people are hiding from God. And look what happens. The Lord God calls to Adam and said to him, where are you? Here's my question to all of you. Especially the ones who have now accepted Jesus Christ. What has your sin ever done for you? What has the devil ever done for you? Answer that. What has your drug habit ever done for you? Besides take your money, shrivel you up to look like olive oil, make your nose bleed, have you lie and cheat and steal, and cause you to be a big jerk. What has alcohol ever done for you? You ever see people drunk? Hey, man. Hey, boss. I know that. Let me tell you, man. I was just hey, nice talking to you, brother. All right. They're spitting on your phone on the ground. What has alcohol ever done for you? What has your boyfriend ever done for you? What has sex ever done for you? What has job ever done for you? What has lying ever done for you? What has being jealous ever done for you? Nothing. And God's saying, where are you at? You did what the Satan told you. You thought you'd be like me. You thought you wouldn't get punished. Now tell me, what has it gotten you? I did drugs for 8 years, spent thousands of dollars, got nothing out of it. Nothing that I could say I would do again. You got a nice car? So what? You got a nice house? So what? So what? Does it make you any better than anybody else? I spent the night in a guy's house the other day. He makes $300,000 a week. I was over there for a reason now. I was like, you know, $300,000 a week, throw a little change this way, my brother. I'm only kidding. You know what he said to me? Doesn't matter. You can only spend but so many dollars. Boy got a gigantic house. How many rooms can you be in at once? Can you be like all in the rooms like this? You can only be in one chair at one time, one toilet at one time, one bed at one time. What difference does it make? If I want to have a big house, I just go visit all y'all and say, all these are my houses, you know. What's the difference? You have money, you have all this stuff, and you're sinning. God's saying, what good has it done you? Have you tried me, God says? Have you tried my love? Have you tried being holy? Have you tried being pure? Have you tried the Holy Ghost? Have you tried the Holy Spirit? Have you ever been so happy that you love everybody you know? You don't care about anything because God says, I love you no matter what. That's what I'm talking about. That's what God's talking about. He said that's what Adam and Eve left. They left that because the devil lied to them and they believed it. What God wants to do is restore y'all to that. He wants to bring you into that. I used to be miserable. My car got stolen. You know what? I really didn't care. I really didn't. I was in shock. I was like, I couldn't, it was, you know, when something's missing that was sitting right there. But I was like, God has something better for me. A new car. Then when I saw the cop had it, I was like, ah! I was looking for something really wrong with it so I could just sue somebody and get another one. But you know, when you're in God's kingdom, there was a guy who was walking on the beach with his friend. He was rich. His father was rich. His little, two little boys. He was walking on the beach. He said to his little friend who had no money, he said, hey man, you see that house on that big hill? He said, my daddy owns that house. The little kid said, man. Next day they came out. See that Mercedes and that Rolls Royce? My daddy owns those two cars. That little boy said, man. See that boat, that yacht on the water? My daddy owns that yacht. He said, man. Friends getting discouraged. He said, you see that plane up there? My daddy owns the airline. The little boy got really discouraged. Really down. Like, this guy got all the stuff. I don't have anything. Little boy got saved. Came to church. Understood and realized how much God loved him and how much God owned. He went back to that little boy and said, hey man, you see that house that house you have? You see that hill that it's sitting on? My daddy owns that hill. He said, you see the water that yacht's sitting on? My daddy owns all that water. And you see that sky that plane's up in? My daddy put that sky there. And one day he's coming back. He's coming back to collect for sin. One price, your life. You can either pay with your life or Jesus' life. Where has your sin gotten you? Let's look at the end of the story. Verse 10. So he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid, and I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not? God will not judge you according to anything but his word. He will never judge you for anything else except what he wrote in here. Because he's faithful. He's not going to make up a new rule, come up with a new book. This is the additional book of the gospel. This is another gospel. No. God's going to judge you according to what he said in this book. And look what the man and the woman said. The man said, the woman whom you gave me, she gave it to me and ate. She did it. He did it. God said to the woman, what is this you have done? And the woman said, the serpent deceived me. Let me tell you something. You are going to pay and be accountable for your own sin. You have never, ever, ever can blame it on somebody else. When you die, you're going to stand before God, and God's going to deal with you one-on-one before your sin, nobody else included. I don't care if you were molested, if you were raped, if you were abused when you were a kid, if you grew up in poverty, if you grew up with a lot of money, if you grew up discriminated against, it doesn't matter. God's going to ask you, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do with the gospel when you heard it? Because I, God, can overcome all that, so that doesn't matter. What did you do when you heard that I loved you and then I wanted to get you out of that? What did you do with that? What did you do when you heard that my son died for you? What did you do with that? When he hung on the cross for 6 hours with his back ripped open and his beard pulled off and 2-inch thorns stuck in his head and his face beat him so you couldn't tell he was a man because of your sin. What did you do with that? That's all I want to know. Did you accept that by faith or did you reject that? Did you keep hiding from me? Did you hold on to your sin? That's my question. That's what God's going to ask you. And he's going to ask you one-on-one. What are you going to say? You can only have one or two answers. You can either say, I rejected it, and then you go to hell. End of story. And I talk to people, they don't want God. I say, I don't want to talk to you. There's nothing I can do for you. No, but I want something. You got to help me. I said, I cannot help you. I don't even want to try to help you. If you don't want God, then you do what you want to do. A friend of mine was discipling me. A friend of his came up to him and said, this woman wants to have an affair with me. She's married. What should I do? So my friend said to him, are you saved? Are you a Christian? He said, no, I'm not a Christian. He said, well, go ahead and do it. He says, you're going to hell anyway, so have all the fun you can now. What are you going to do if God asks you, what did you do with the knowledge of the gospel? Did you reject it or accept it? If you say, I don't want to hear about Jesus, that is fine, but you will pay. Because the devil's going to pay. But if you say, I'm hiding, I'm hurt, I can see that I'm naked. I can see that I'm discouraged. Hurting, I'm embarrassed, I'm guilty, I'm dirty, I'm lonely, I'm suicidal, I'm depressed, I'm empty, I see that. It is plain to me. It is plain to me that something's wrong in my life. When I came here last time, there was a woman standing right here in a red dress. She'd just come from work. Dressed all up real nice. Glasses. Attractive. She was sitting here crying. And the Lord showed me, I said, Miles, this is her life. Her life is changed now. And she was standing here saying, I want to change my life. Not join this church. Your whole life. What do you want to do with your life? And God's saying, you can do one of two things. You can go to hell or come to heaven. There is no in between. You can't have your feet on both sides of the fence because there's barbed wire on it. And that will be real painful. You have to decide life or death. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Lord, I look at this story and you say Adam and Eve represent us. I don't know if I let my woman talk to somebody by herself. But Lord, because she did, because they sinned, all of us are sinners. Bees make bees, bears make bears, and sinners make sinners. You say that all of us have sinned and fallen short of your glory, that every single one of us, because of our sin, will die and be separated from you. But you say that while we were sinners, while we were enemies of God, Christ died in our place that we wouldn't have to die. That we only have to confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And we'll be saved from our sin, forgiven, cleansed, on our way to heaven. And if you were here this morning, as the music plays, I want you to consider your life. I want you to consider your sin, your humanity, your morality, eternity. I want you to ask yourself, am I a sinner? The Bible says you are, so you don't have to think about that. But now I want you to ask yourself, if I was to die right now, would I be condemned because of my sin? What have I done to get rid of my sin? Not pain, not sorrow, but sin. The tendency to do against God's perfect will. What do I have in me to help me overcome sin? What do I have in me to help me say no to sin and yes to God? Well, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and nobody, not even magic, nobody comes to the Father but through me. And if you understand that, you understand that you are a sinner. You understand that you've been hiding from God, running from Him. And you don't want to run anymore. You want to come out from behind the bushes. And you want to say, God, I'm naked. I'm sinful. I'm lost. And I believe you died for me. God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to come into my heart. I believe Jesus Christ died for me. I want Him to forgive me. I want Him to restore me and cleanse me and fill me with His Holy Spirit. God, I want to start all over. I want to be born again. I want to be baptized, cleansed. I want to be a new creature. I want the old to be gone and the new to come. God, I'm sorry. If you want, tell God that. I want you to pray this prayer with me. And you must pray this prayer to God, believing that He is faithful and just, that He will believe you, that He will forgive you, He will answer your prayer, and He will love you. You must believe that. If you expect to receive anything from God, you must believe that He exists in the way that He says He does. If you would like salvation this morning, forgiveness of your sins, cleansing from your sins, I want you to pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray this prayer believing that God will answer your prayer. And God will answer your prayer. Say, Dear God, I know I'm a sinner. I believe that my sin is wrong. I believe it's going to kill me. I'm lost, God. I'm naked. I believe your son, Jesus Christ, died on the cross for me. I believe he rose from the dead. I believe that he loves me right now. And I ask you, God, to forgive me of all my sin. I'm coming out from hiding. I give myself to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. As all of our eyes are closed and our heads are bowed, and please, no moving around, please. If you pray that prayer to ask Christ into your heart and you want to come out from hiding, you want to be saved, you want to be forgiven, you want a new life, I want to ask you to take your first step of faith, your second step of faith. I'm going to ask you right now where you're at to stand up in your seat, right where you're at. Stand up with me and say, God, I want you to forgive me right now. I'm coming out from amongst the crowd. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless all of you. God bless you. Come out. Stand up and say, Lord, count me in. Cleanse me, purify me, forgive me, love me, fill me. God bless all of you. Stand up. We have all day. We are not in a rush. This is the rest of your life. You are making an eternal decision. Stand up in your seat. God bless all of you. Stand up in your seat. Jesus says if you're embarrassed to him and ashamed of him before man, if you're embarrassed and worried about what people say now, he's going to be ashamed of you before his Father. Stand up in your seat and say, God, I'm not hiding anymore. I want you to cleanse me and forgive me. And I want you to deal with me. I'm naked. I've sinned. I don't want to believe Satan anymore. Stand up and say, God, I'm not God. You are. And I need you. I desperately need you. Anybody else? God bless you. There's many of you, 20 to 30 to 40 of you standing up. Stand up with these people and say, Lord, I want you. God wants to love you. He's knocking on the door of your heart. And you're looking through the peephole of the door and you see it's not a salesman. It ain't a Jehovah's Witness. It ain't the mailman. It's Jesus Christ knocking on the door of your heart. Let him in. Let him in. Don't tell him to go away. Don't tell him to come back. Don't tell him you're too busy. Don't tell him you have stuff you got to do. And don't tell him you got to change first, because he don't want you to change first. He wants you now. He wants to change you. Stand up in your seat and say, God, I'm opening the door of my heart and I want you to come in. God bless you. God will honor your faithfulness. God bless you. God bless you. You say yes to everything else. You're tough out in the street. You're cool out in the street and you get nothing for it. Now it's time to be bold for God. Now it's time to stand up for something that's right. People are going to laugh at you whether you walk with God or not. They're going to laugh at you the way you look. They're going to laugh at you the way you dress. They're going to laugh at your hairdo. They're going to laugh at your smell. Let them laugh at something good about you. If they're going to laugh at you, let them laugh when you're right. Stand up in your seat right now and say, God, I'm not ashamed. Anybody else? God bless you. Christians, pray right now. People are struggling with this decision. God bless you. Pray. Lord, give people boldness right now. Anybody else? God bless you. God is waiting. God bless you. He's been waiting all your life. God bless you. He's been waiting all your life. And he's praying in heaven right now, and all the angels are cheering. They're having a party. MC Hammer got nothing on them. Every time a sinner repents, they party in heaven. There's a whole lot of sinners now. There's a whole lot of partying. Michael, the archangel, Tito, Jermaine, all of them up there, they're partying. God bless all of you. Anybody else, stand up in your seat. All of you that are standing, step faith number 3.